I think it might hopefully will be clearer now. The phone call, I got myself some kind of a microphone and a headphone, and I look really ridiculous over here, but I look like I'm on a radio station. But that's good, that's good. The whole appearance is adds to the excitement. Okay. We are holding, but I just want to announce, next week, Baruch Hashem, I'm making a wedding on Thursday. It'll probably be not too feasible to have the class. So we're going to take a break next week, and we're going to resume again on the following Thursday. So again, there won't be a class next week Thursday, and we're going to resume the week after that. Okay, we are holding now in the story of Avram Avinu's battle with the four kings, which was really fascinating, and we saw how Moshiachtig, that whole battle was, that the battle with the four kings represented also the war of Gog and Magog and the end of days, and that everything that needs to be achieved was already done already, and now it's just going to unfold in front of our eyes in a most spectacular way as we're now entering into into that stage, it seems like, from what's happening in the world. And as we said, everything is going to be bechesed uberachmim, in a manner that there won't be any harm for any Jew across the entire planet. Okay, so we are holding now in the aftermath of that war. Avram comes back the incredible champion of war, the great war hero. He and his servant Eliezer defeated all the kings, which is, of course, a symbol and indicative to the future days when Mashiach Tzedkeinu is going to finalize the Geula. Last week we spoke about how during this war, Malach Michael was there, Eliyahu HaNavi is there, Mashiach Tzedkeinu is there. It's all present in the Chumash in this war because it's a Maisa of a Simon Labanim. This is the actualization of the final battle of the end of days into eradicating all Ruach HaTumah, all spirit of impurity, all forces of evil from the world. Okay, now the Pasuk describes what happened afterwards. So it says like this. It says, Vayetze Melech Sedoim. This is in Perek and Parshas Lech Lecha. And again, I'm going to mention again, always good to have a Chumash with you so you can follow along inside. We do use in this class lots of gematrias and Rashi Tevis and things like that because, of course, if you're looking for Mashiach in every Inyan, you'll have to dig into the realm of Remez. And Remez comes to us in codes, in various different hidden things in the Psukim. And also, of course, you'll have to use Kabbalah and things like that, which take us into a different realm of the Pshat, because the Pshat of these stories are simple, not dealing with the future. But as I mentioned when we began this class, that every Pasuk in Torah has within it is really a story about Mashiach. Okay, so in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Yudzayin, chapter 14, verse 17, it says, Vayetze Melech Sedoim Lekrasoi. The king of Sedoim went out towards Avram Avinu. Acharei Shuvai, after Avram returns, Mahakois es Kedar La'Omer, from when he finished his beating and defeating Kedar La'Omer v'samalachim asher itoi, and the kings that were with him. And where did they go out? Where did they have this great reception, this great parade to honor Avram Avinu? El Emek Shavei. But this all happened in a place called Emek Shavei, which is Emek HaMelech. So there's a valley called a Valley of Shavei, which is the Valley of the King. That already sounds amazing, the Valley of the King. What are we talking about? So, and this is where they're having this parade. And the king of Sedoim is coming out to greet him. What really happened? And then the pasuk continues that, in addition to that, Umalki Tzedek, the king of Tzedek, who we know, Melech Shalem, who is the king of Shalem, the king Tzedek, who is the king of Shalem, who we know is Shem, the son of Noach, he also comes out to greet Avram, to give him a hero's reception. And he brings with him Hoitzi Lechem V'yai, and he brings bread and wine. And then it goes on to say, V'hu Kayen L'keil Elyon, he was a Kohen. At that time, Shem was the Kohen, the high Kohen Gadol, the high priest who's serving Hashem. He was meant to be the Kohen. And there's a blessing going on. Vayevarcheu vayoymar, Shem blessed Avram Avinu. He was so impressed with what happened that he gave Avram a bracha. Baruch Avram lekel elyon, that Avram should be blessed to the supernal God, to the God on high. Koine shamayim va'aretz, the one who acquires heaven and earth. Baruch kel elyon, and that the Eibishter, who is exalted, should also be blessed. that has given your enemies in your hands. And then it also describes one last thing, that Avram Avinu at that time gave Meiser from all of his possessions. Now he found the Kayin. So the Kayin, you have to give the gifts. So he gave him a tenth. He tithed all of his possessions and he gave it to Shem. Gave him Meiser. Okay, this is the story. So let's understand what's going on. The greeting, okay? We spoke about the war last week, and now we're talking about the greeting. So obviously, these psukim are speaking about the aftermath of the great war in the end of days, meaning after Mashiach Tzidkenu is already like Mashiach, accepted in the world, and then there is this something happening between Avram and Sodom, the king of Sodom, and really all the nations. So you have all the nations. You have the king of Sodom and who comes out. And it says they came to a place called Emek HaMelech. So I think Rashi brings that everybody came to greet him at that point. Rashi says, Medrash Agada, Emek Shehujvu Shom Kala Umas. The reason it's called Emek Shaveh is because everybody became equal, unified. V'emlichu as Avram Aleim L'nasi Elokim L'katzin. They appointed Avram as a prince and as a general over them. Ah, so you see the Mashiach moment. This is an incredible Mashiach moment. This is the moment when Mashiach, in a sense, is appointed over all the nations. Everybody submits themselves, because everybody submitting themselves to Avram is symbolizing the ultimate submission. Now, where do we find that? I mean, it's nice to say that, but where do we find that? So there's a Medrash in Shir HaShirim. It's called Medrash Shir HaShirim Zuta, in Perek Hei, Siftes. On the words Al Eimek Shaveh, that they came to Eimek Shaveh, so the Medrash says on the Pasuk, in Shir HaShirim it says that the nations of the world say to the Jewish people, this is in Perek Hey, Pasuk Tes. Ma doideich mi doid? Why do you make such a big deal? Hayafa banashim, you beautiful amongst the women, which is referring to the Jewish people, because all the nations are referred to as women, and the most beautiful amongst the women is referring to Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. And they're saying to the Jewish woman, to them, and they're saying to the Yidden, to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people, ma doideich mi doid? Why are you so crazy about your lover, the one you love, and more than all the other, we all have our boyfriends, which means we all have our gods. What's the big deal about your god? And Rashi says, meaning, Shekacha Yesha'alin HaUmay Ses Yisrael, this is what the nations asked the Jewish people, Ma Alekecha Mekol Elokim, what's so great about your god from all gods? Shekach Atem Nisrafim, you allow yourself to be burnt in the gas chambers, you allow to be burnt in the crematoriums, in the inquisitions, v'nitzlavim olav, and you are crucified for his name. You know, they make a whole thing about the crucifixion of whatever, of Isa Ish. There were lots of Yidden when the Romans did this to them. So you're allowing yourself such torture and such suffering, and all for the sake of your beloved one, what's so great of him from all the other gods? And then they continue, ma doidech mi doid, what is special about your beloved more than our beloved of all, shekacha hishbatanu, that you have sworn upon us. So what does it mean that you had sworn upon us? It's implying that they have sworn upon them already. There was a certain time that the Jewish people swore upon the nations or made the nations accept an oath. When was this that the nations accepted an oath? So Elisha Hasidim, so the Medrash says like this, Lama nema shekacha hishbatani, what does it say that so you have made an oath? Elisha Hasidim akshedim shebeumais, that the ksherim, the kosher ones from the nations in the future, lihishavala kadosh baruch hu liyisrael, they're going to make an oath that they're to Hashem and to the Jewish people, shaloi leilech achar avodah zarah me'ata, that they're not going to go after avodah zarah. They're going to shut down all the mosques and all the churches and all the nations and all the Buddhist temples and all the places of worships that are not to Hashem Echad are going to be shut down, because all of humanity is going to concede that Hashem is the only one that needs to be served. And in order to give a guarantee, they're going to take an oath. That's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Ereyat Alamed Ma'avram. You learned this from Avram. Yom Shehikas HaMalachim, the day that Avram Avinu killed the Malachim. Kamo Shenamar, it says over there, Al Emek Shaveh, to the land of Shaveh. What does that mean? Shenishbu loy kol la'umais, that all the nations swore to him, Shaloi leilech me'ata achar avodah zarah. So this happened already. Now, because like I mentioned earlier, Everything in the future had to happen to the Avos. So from the end of days, all the nations of the world are going to concede and swear that they're not going to go after, they give an oath that they're not going to swear, that they're not going to go after any of the other gods. So it was already after Avram Avinu. At this Mashiach Degel moment, Avram came back victorious. All the nations swore to him that they're not going to go after Avodah Zarah. Obviously, they didn't keep their promise, but that oath was already given. That's what they mean. Shekacha hishbatani, you have already placed an oath upon us. Ubamakoyim shenishbu loy laAvram, in the same place where they swore to Avram, they're going to come full circle. Kachem asidim lahishava lamakoyim ulamashiach. They are going to offer their oath to Hashem and to Mashiach. Shaloy leilech achar Avodah Zarah, that they're not going to go after idols anymore. Lekach nemar kacha hishbatani. And this is the toichen, the inner toichen of what's happening over here. El emek shaveh. Shaveh means equal. In a valley where everybody's equalized, if the, with one idea, as we say, la'avdei shchem echad, to serve Hashem with one shoulder. So, to take that a little further into the world of Remez, that including in this submission of all the nations of the world is going to be even the Sitra Achra itself, the Satan himself, the other side, the source of all Klippa. There's a sefer called Mikri Dardiki, which is from a student of the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Hillel of Kalamai, who was one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. And he finds in this pasuk, I guess based on this medrash, a remez that in this reception, it says, "Vayetze Melech Sedoim Lekrosoi Acharei." See in Pasuk Yitzayin, from the second word and onward, "Melech Sedoim Lekrosoi Acharei Rosh Tevis Simoel Samach from Sedoim." Then go back to the Melech Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, which is the name of the Satan himself, Simoel. And the idea is that even Simoel Vayetze Melech Sedoim Lekrosoi, that the king of Sedoim will come towards. Which means that even the Satan, the Samach Mem, at that moment with Avram Avinu, was surrendered to Avram Avinu. It was a moment where Klippa surrendered to Kedusha completely. I mean, being that this was a Mashiach moment, so this was just a captured, it was a Kodak moment, you caught a picture of it, it was a preview, and eventually later, at the end of days, this is going to be permanent. But now it was just for a moment. It says, B'tzayis Hashem Darkei Ish, when Hashem favors the ways of a person, which was with Avram Avinu, Hashem favored his ways, Gam oivav yashlem ito, even his enemies will submit to him, will make peace with him. And that's the ultimate enemy, the koyach of Sitra Achra, that submitted to Avram Avinu. That's why it's hinted to in this pasuk, Samach Mem, Aleph Lamed, the total submission of the satanic forces to Kedusha, to holiness. And then he brings over here from a Yalkut, again a Medrash, a Yalkut in Parshas Vayishlach. Darish Rab Acha, Rab Acha Darshins, Asidim kol umois oilam, all the nations of the world are going to livgoid b'malchus arevi. They're going to betray the fourth kingdom. So what's the fourth kingdom? The fourth kingdom is Edom, right? Malchus Edom, which found different expressions through the ages. As we mentioned, it began as Rome, then it became generally the Western Europe. It took on the various different kings of Europe, whether it was the English kings or the French and the Germans and then the Russian Tsar and whoever had the power. But then it materialized and it moved over to America. And America was the superpower, which definitely is a continuation of Malchus Edom. We're still in the Golis. It's a Christian Melucha. And so it says over here that the nations in the world are going to end, they're going to rebel against, they're going to be boygeid in Malchus Edom. They're going to push him mibeinam from amongst them, away from them. They're not going to leave him even a city, v'loy medina, and not even a little province, not, definitely not a big country, they're going to push him away from nation to nation. Until they arrive to Beis Guvrin, I don't know what that means. And over there they're going to find Melech HaMashiach. No, the king of Edom is going to reach, that's what it seems like, he's going to be chased from everywhere until he comes to a place called Beis Guvrin. He finds Mashiach and he is going to throw to him the kingdom. In other words, he's going to throw his crown to him, you be Melech. Sounds like what's happening already in America, like the whole fear that the world had from America. It's everybody's removing the yoke, everybody's snubbing. You see already that the world is is laughing from the Malchus already. It doesn't have its power anymore, thanks to our magnificent president in the White House. But in the end, to me, I think that Obama himself is going to give over his Malchus to Melech HaMashiach. That was my feeling from when he became that the ultimate defeat. But it's interesting, just an idea that it says so in the Medrash. So that's the meaning of, if you take the word, here's a little remez, this is all continued from the Reb Hillel of Kalamai. He says, if you take the words El Emek Shaveh Hu, four words in the Pasuk, it says they all came to El Emek Shaveh, to the valley of equality, the valley of equality. Okay, Hu. So the words El Emek Shaveh Hu, the Rasha Tevis, is of these words, Aleph, Ayin, Shin, He, is the same Rasha Tevis of words in Yecheskel, in the Navi Yecheskel, where it describes how people in the end of days are going to throw their avodah zarah. They're going to reject all whatever they've believed in and realize that it's all, like it says in the Navi, Sheker Nachlu Avaseinu, our fathers have taught us falseness. So it says over there, these words, Ish Shekutse Einav Hashlichu, every man, that which is shikutz, that which is disgusting in their eyes, Hashlichu, throw it away. Which is referring to all avodah zarah and all belief systems and whatever it is that I have messed up humanity for all the thousands of years and distracted people from serving Hashem, that is all going to be thrown away. Well, the first time that was cast and everybody threw away their belief systems was by Avram Avinu. El Emek Shaveh, who is Rosh HaTevis of this? And it's going to be in that moment that our eyes are going to witness when all the nations of the world and all beliefs and all religions are going to concede the MS of Hashem Elohim MS and submit to Melech HaMashiach. To take this a step further, we said that the Melech Sedoim is Vayetze Melech Sedoim Lekrasai. Initially, who's coming out? It's all the kings, as Rashi brings. But in addition to that, the king of Sedoim is coming out. So he brings over here the Sefer Shufra de Yaakov, which is one of the Navaminska Rebbeim. He brings over here an interesting, he says it's Yedua Misfarim Akdoshim. He doesn't say who this is, but he says Misfarim Akdoshim must be from Chassidish Sfarim, early Chassidish Sfarim, that the king of Sedoim is the Tsar of Esav. Interesting. That Melech Sedoim, who is the king of Sedoim, was the physical incarnation of the minister of Esav. Now, I'll be pashtus, if we wouldn't have learned what we learned last week, that would be shocking. What's the shaykhus of the king of Sedoim to the minister of Esav? But the idea is, last week we learned, the Gevaldige Inyan, that Sedoim and Edom is the same word. Sedoim and Edom. Bilvad, that you have to switch the Samach and the Aleph. And last week I shared with you that there's one of the systems of exchanging letters in which you exchange every letter with, you set up the Aleph Beis in rows of seven letters. And then you can change the first letter with the eighth letter, or the 15th letter, right? Each eighth letter, because you have seven letters as part of one set, so the Aleph can switch with the Ches, and it can switch with the Samach, which is the eighth letter. That's how you switch. So according to that switch, the Aleph of Edom switches with the Samach of Sedoim. So it makes sense that Edom and Sedoim, and the Malach Esav is Edom and Sedoim. And last week we also said how Sedoim represented a klaliyistig, a very general corruption that was corrupt in everything. And that's what Edom represents, Malchus HaRevi. It corresponds to Sfiris HaMalchus. It's the antithesis to Sfiris HaMalchus, to David HaMelech, that is a composite of everything together, because Malchus receives a makabal of everything, as opposed to the higher spheros, which each one has its own identity. This is a composite of it all unified together. So he says the king of Sedoim is the king of Esav. When it says Vayetze Melech Sedoim Likrasai, means that the king of Esav came out towards him. Now it says in Chazal that in the end of days, the Eibishter is going to shecht the king of Esav. Right? Who's the king of Esav? The king of Sedoim? Who is really the Samach Mem? That's why the Samach Mem Aleph Lamed is actually hinted over there. The Satan himself is the king of Esav. And he came out, Vayetze HaMelech Sedoim L'Krasai. So he brings from the Baal Shem Tov, I have to look it up if this says in Keser Shem Tov, but he brings from the Baal Shem Tov that this idea that the Eibishter is going to shecht the Malach of Esav means that Hashem is going to take out the mem from Samael. That's the shechting. When you shecht an animal, you take out its blood. When the Eibishter is going to shecht the Malach, Samach Mem, he's going to pull out the mem from the Samach Mem. When you pull out the mem from this, why the mem, I'm not sure. That was what the Baal Shem Tov says. When you take out the mem from Samach Mem, you're left with the letter Samach Aleph Lamed. And the Baal Shem Tov says that Samach Aleph Lamed is a Shem Kadosh of one of the Eibishter's names. Samach Aleph Lamed is the Kedusha. And the mem is be taken out. Actually, we once spoke from the Magale Amukis that the Samach and the Mem are the negative letters and the Aleph Lamed are the positive letters. He once gave a whole inyan in it, but not for now. But from the Baal Shem Tov, it says that even the Samach is redeemable. The Mem has to be extracted. And you're left with Samach Aleph Lamed, Sal. Now give me a moment. That's a very interesting idea. What's the shames Samach Aleph Lamed? So we know that one of the names of Hashem is called the name of 72. Shem Ayin Beis. Shem Ayin Beis, Shem Av, Shem 72. Which is connected to a gematria of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The tetragrammaton, Hashem's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. If you have the gematria of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei with the Oisiyos Hamiluyim, with the inner letters, which means the letters that are not pronounced. For example, the Yud is not just counted as 10, but it's counted as 20. Because it's Yud, Vav, Dalet, Yud, right, the hidden letters. And then if you make the Miloy of Yudin, Hey is also, is Hey Yud. Hey, see, what do you fill in a Hey? What's the inner hidden letter? Is a Yud. So Hey is 15, Hey Yud. Then you have another Hey, it's another 15. So 15 and 15 is 30, plus 20 is 50. And then how do you get 20? And then you're missing 22, right? Vav, according to this, the Arizal says that Vav is spelled Viv. Vuv, Vav, Yud, Vav. Not Vav, Alevav, which we would think it's Vav, but Vav, Yud, Vav, whatever reason, I'm not sure. Viv. So if you have Viv, it's another 10, plus 12 is 22. So together it's 72. That's Shem Ayin Beis. But it says in Svarim, and even Rabbeinu Bachaya brings this, even brought in Rashi in Gemara, that the Shem Ayin Beis actually comes, we mentioned this in this class already other times, it comes from, it's derived, it's derived from three psukim in Chumash, in Parshas Beshalach, where it speaks about the splitting of the sea. So there's three psukim over there called Vayisa, I have it over here, in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Yutes, Vayisa, Vayovoi, Vayet. So the Baal HaTurim brings it, I think, and the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that he says that these three psukim, Vayisa, Vayavoy, Vayet, three consecutive psukim, all have 72 oisiyos, 72 letters. You don't have to count it. I counted it many times. So it's 72 letters in Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk Chof, and Pasuk Chof Aleph. Now what you do is, in order to create the shemois of Shem Ayin Beis, is you take the letters of Pasuk Yutes and you line them up in a row, vertical row going down. From the, let's say the first word is Vayisa. So you put Vav, Yud, Samach, Ayin, going downward. Then you continue, one letter per row going down. So you can have 72 lines, a table. You're creating a table of 72 letters. Imagine you're doing an Excel spreadsheet, okay? So you're putting one letter going down, Vayisa, going all the way down. You're gonna get the number, row number 72. And that's going to be the last letter in Pasuk Chaf, which is a Mem. Okay, Ma'achareihem. Then you take the next Pasuk Chaf, and you start a next row next to it. But you flip the Pasuk upside down. You begin from the last letter. You put this letter is read upside down. This Pasuk, I mean. You begin, the way you make the row is you make from back to the beginning of the Pasuk. From the last Ois to the beginning, working backwards. That's the second Pasuk. And you put that side by side on the same 72 rows, but you put them in the next column, down. Okay, so then you take the last pasuk Chaf Aleph, and you again construct the letters downward, but this time it's again straight, not backwards. Then you have now 72 words, each word made up of three letters. Well, the 45th one, okay, so you're going to go down to number 45. I counted it before. Go down to number 45. You're going to get the word Samach Aleph Lamed. Sal. Okay? It comes from the Samach, the second Samach of the word Vayisa. It says Vayisa twice in Pasuk Yutes. It's a letter number 45. From the Aleph of the word, give me a second over here. From the Aleph of the word Yisrael in the second Pasuk Chaf. Again, that's a backwards counting. And then in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, you have a Lamed. Samach Aleph Lamed. That's the shame. And Sal, and it's a holy name of Hashem. That's the Shechita that the Eibishter is going to do. He's going to pull out the Mem. He's going to leave him Sal. He's going to leave him with God's name. Okay? So that's the meaning now in the Pasuk. He says, Yetzei melech Sedoim likrasai, the king of Sedoim went out towards him. That means that finally we're going to extract the king of Sedoim, who was the Samach Mama Mel. He's going to go out towards Avram. That means he's being emerged. He's being pulled out. He's being nisakin through Avram. When is that going to happen? El Emek Shavei. When they reach the valley of Shavei, he says an interesting thing, that Shavei is Rashi Tevis. When the whole world will acknowledge that God said and the world came into being. El Emek HaMelech, who Emek HaMelech, it means at the time in the valley when Hashem, Vahoya Hashem LaMelech al Kol HaOretz. So that's going to happen. That's when Vayetze HaMelech Stoim LaKrasai, the Shechita of the Samach Mem. Till here says in Svarim. And now let me share with you my little Mishagas. Okay, it's Mishagas, but it's still an interesting thing. When, you know, someone once brought to my attention that the word ISIS, which is like, if anybody needs to see brutal, pure evil, that's evil shebi evil, that doesn't have any trace of goodness to it, it's just pure cruelty, she'en kamoyo. ISIS, if you spell it in Hebrew, now even though, interesting, their name that they call themselves over there is, we forgot already, Babatesh, we forgot what their name is, Daesh, they call themselves. But the name that has been stuck at least in English, and so much of the world refers to them and gives a chill down the spine, is ISIS. You spell Aleph Samach Yud Samach ISIS. So that's the exact gematria. Samach and Samach is 120, plus Yud is 10, is 130, plus Aleph. So ISIS is exact gematria of 131, which is the gematria of Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. This is the incarnation of the Samach Mem. This is his last battle in this world before we take him out. But then it occurred to me that the Baal Shem Tov says that you're going to take out the Mem, the Shechit of the Samach Mem, and you take out the Mem from him. If you take out the Mem, it remains Sal, Samach Aleph Lamed. How does the President of the United States refer to him? ISIL. Isn't that interesting? Aleph Samach Lamed. You got this ISIS, then you have him ISIL. And it was interesting that they kept on referring to, I remember at the beginning when this whole phenomenon of ISIS came into people's minds, they kept on wondering how come the president refers to him as ISIL, not as ISIS by the common name. And they were giving all kinds of explanations that the technical name is ISIL. I just thought it's funny because in the end, from Samach Mem Aleph Lamed is going to become Sal, ISIL. So maybe that's already, maybe he's already seeing their end when the Klipa, because he's connected to this tikkun that's going to happen, that the Eibishter is going to take out the life force of Melech Edom. In any case, just an interesting idea. Okay, then it describes that after we deal with Melech Sedom, at this war, which means the sublimation of the nations of the world, even of the Klipa, and even of the Samach Mem, his surrender to Kedusha, it says in the Pasuk, Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin. So the king of Yerushalayim, Melech Shalem, is bringing out bread and wine. And it says in the end that Avram Avinu gives him Miser. So we understand. Shame, you know, he's the one who is the one, again, you have Adam Arishan, who is the father of humanity. And Adam Arishan is a tzaddik. He's created by the Eibishter. He knows what it's all about. He was the one on the first day who called L'chun Eranina. Okay, then he did an Avera, whatever, caused a fall in him, his descendants. but he's the one who carries the MS with him. Somehow he transmits it to Chanoich, I think Adam saw Chanoich, and then from Chanoich it got transmitted to Meshuselach to Noach. Okay, so Noach has the MS. Noach, from all his three children, the tzaddik is Shem. So Shem is the one who has the yeshiva, Shem ve'Aver. Avram Avinu was a student from Shem. So Shem is the one who is, he's aspiring to the ultimate of days. So we can understand why Shem gets all excited after this war. And Avram is coming back. And all the nations of the world are taking off their crowns and bending to... This is mamish, like what Shem was waiting for. And Shem is the king of Yerushalayim. What does it mean he's the king of Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim wasn't even a city then. The king of Yerushalayim, L'chaira, means was that he was always Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. He's waiting because he knows that ultimately on that mountaintop, he's the Kayin. He was the Kayin during that time. And where is he serving? His father, Noach, built him as Beach. We know on the Makam HaMikdash, the Rambam says, and that's where he offered up Karbanai. So Shem knows that the ultimate, he has the vision of Yerushalayim, of the third Beis HaMikdash. He's waiting for the day. So now he's the Melech Shalem. He comes out to greet Avram Avinu. Now, what's the first time in history that the world reaches, not in a symbolic way, but in an actual state, the Mashiach Diga perfection? What was the first time in history? In a sense, you can say by Matan Torah, okay? Because this that we're speaking about now, this is all symbolic. Okay, it's a simin labanim, but it's not an actuality. But when did it happen? It's when Shlomo Melech built up, in the days of Shlomo. The days of Shlomo, this was the, as the Zohar says, Kaima Siya Rabba Shlomo. So the moon was in its full light, which means Malchus, God's kingdom, took on a full dominion over the world. All the nations were subservient to Shlomo Melech. It was somehow already the beginning of Yemos HaMashiach. It didn't last forever, but at least it was a preview of Yemos HaMashiach. What's Shlomo HaMelech's name? Shlomo. Shlomo. His name was Melech Shalem, because there was something still missing, a hey. And Chazal actually tell us that Shalem, the Pasuk Melech Shalem, is not his name. His name is Malki Tzedek, but he's the king of Shalem. Shalem is Yerushalayim. Why is Yerushalayim called Shalem? Because Yira Shalem, the word Yerushalayim has the word Shalem in it. First of all, it's the source of peace. All peace will come from Yerushalayim in the end. And also, Melech Shalem also stands for, Yerushalayim stands for Yira Shalem, complete fear. So Yerushalayim is, but at that time, Yerushalayim is only Shalem. It was missing the hay. When Shlomo is going to be the king, it's going to be Shlomo. It's the ear of the city of Shlomo with a hay. Shalem is without a hay. When Avram Avinu sees Shem as Melech Shalem, Avram wants to perfect it. So says the holy Jikiv Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer of Jikiv, Teres Yeshua, son of the Rupshitzer, a very great, great Kabbalist and a great tzaddik. So he says, when Avram saw that it's not yet Shlomo, it's only Shalem, Vayiten loy, Avram gave him Meiser Mikol. He gave him a tenth from everything. The word Mikol, Kol is 50. Chaf Lamed is 50. Avram gave him a tenth of Kol. A tenth of 50 is how much? It's 5. What does that mean? That Avram gave him the hay, but he was missing. He was Shalem. He gave him the hay that it should become Shlomo. Melech Shalem Shalem. In other words, Avram was completing the Geula Shalem. You see, now it's only Melech Shalem, but it should be Melech Shlomo. That's the meaning of Meiser. He gave him a tenth, Mikol, from Kol, which is 50, he gave him 5. A very fast and interesting idea. So, the Ishbitzer, one of the Talmidim of the Kotzke Rebbe, explains the Mashiach moment that's going on over here a little deeper. Malki Tzedek, the king of Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, is coming out. And it says that initially, he says an amazing thing. Because what it's, the Gemara says like this, that initially Shem was supposed to be the Kohen. And the Eibishter wanted to take out Kohuna from the children of Shem. I mean, it could have been from any other of his sons. But when after this encounter with Avram, it says that he blessed Avram Avinu, and he put Avram Avinu, and when he blessed Avram Avinu, he puts Avram before Hashem.
The pasuk says, he says, Baruch Avram lekel Elyon. Avram should be blessed, Hashem, or Baruch, and then Hashem should also be blessed. The pasuk says, Vayirvarcheyu vayayma Baruch Avram lekel Elyon, or Baruch kel Elyon, and then he blesses Hashem. So it says that the Eibishter said, you're being magdim, you're prefacing the servant before the master. That's considered a pagam, that was considered a mistake. And therefore I am going to take it away from you. I'm taking the kahuna away from you and I'm giving it to Avram. So now kahuna comes from Avram, not from Shem. Even though Avram is an enikel from Shem. But still, it's considered that kahuna belongs to Avram Avinu and not to Shem. Because Shem blessed Avram first. But what is really going on over here? So he describes, he says like this. He says, when Shem saw that Avram Avinu was Moser Nefesh, literally laid his life on the line to go out to protect the king of Sodom and to go out and to fight for Lot's, for his nephew Lot, he totally didn't get it. He was shocked. He said, what's going on over here? So obviously these were very big tzaddikim. So he can look deep. So when he looked at Lot, he saw all the garbage that's going to come out of Lot. Lot was Lot was a sewer. That's what he was. In the sense that what? He had the worst shabuors coming out of him. Ammon and Moav, the nations of Ammon and Moav are so abominable, they're so despicable, that the Eibishter says that you're never allowed to let them into the Jewish people. There's no other nation in which are ostracized and excommunicated to the degree of Ammon and Moav. They're the darkest klipa. We also know that during the reign, when Yidden were Yerushalayim, especially during the time of the end of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, the Yidden had tsaris from Ammon and Moav. They were terrible neighbors. They were always launching terrorist attacks. They were always they were always a thorn on our side, Ammon and Moav, from way back then. Tsaris tsaruris, the Ammonim and Moav did to the Jewish people. So here, Shem is a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. You know, he has this vision. He sees Avram Avinu risking his life to go save Lot, and Lot has all this terrible stuff coming to him. He doesn't get it. But on the other hand, he wanted to give Avram the benefit of the doubt because he knows Avram is a tzaddik. He was his student, and he knows he's a tzaddik. So he saw that Avram Avinu was victorious. He saw miracles happen. So the pasuk says, "V'hi koyein lekel elyon." That means that he was a koyein. It means at that time he was a koyein. Koyein means to worship. He was davening to the Eibishter to illuminate his eyes, to be able to understand why in the world is Avram Avinu fighting. You know the famous story when the Alter Rebbe was at, when the tzaddikim were quarreling over who should win, if Napoleon should win or the Tsar should win. The other tzaddikim looked at the Alter Rebbe like, why would you want the Russian Tsar? The Russian Tsar is a murderer. How much Jewish blood is in his hands? Napoleon, at least, is representing freedom and the like. The Alter Rebbe had a deep kavana. Okay, they also had their kavana. They wanted whatever it was. So this is the same kind of debate going on over here. He can't figure out why Avram Avinu wants to save Lot and the whole darkness. So he coined the Kalelian, and the Eibishter opened up his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he was able to see very deep. And he saw that it's true that Ammon and Moav are so despicable, they can't come into the Kahal Hashem, but not the girls, only the boys. Because they also contain within themselves, in that darkness and in that muck, as we spoke last week, and the greatest mud is the greatest diamond, and the greatest gold. So in there is the Malchus Beis David. And when he saw that, he was very, very tzufriden. He came to life. He was like, wow. And when he saw that, and therefore he said, Baruch Avram lekel Elyon. He said, look at Avram Avinu. He's blessed. I mean, he sees what I can't see. He's higher than me. He's above me. And he conceded that he blesses Avram because Avram was Moser Nefesh. Even before Hashem, in this sense, he saw that Avram did a pa'ula that was beyond his understanding. And when the Eibishter took away the kahuna from him, it wasn't a punishment. It was he at this moment admitted that Avram is much deeper and higher than him. As a result of his admission that Avram is higher, and first, as a result of that, that it was like with his concession that he conceded the kahuna over to Avram Avinu. I'm just going to conclude with one fascinating idea. And that is that it says over here that the king of Shalem, the king of Yerushalayim, took out lechem v'yayin, bread and wine. So Rashi says, why lechem and yain? So first Rashi gives a simple pshat, because that was the derech that they used to do. When people came back from war, they would bring them a meal, you know. But then Rashi says an interesting thing, that over here, Shem was hinting to Avram Avinu that his children are going to offer, they're going to offer up, hold on over here, Sheyakrivu Sham Banav, that his children are going to offer over there, Minachais and Nesachim. Karba Minchas, which means meal offerings, flour offerings, and Nesachim and libations, pourings of wine. Lechem is the Mincha, and the Yayin is the wine. Because we know in the Beis HaMikdash that in addition to the animal offerings, they also offer the Karba Mincha, meal offerings and wine offerings. Very good. It's interesting, it says that his children will offer it over there. It's just occurring to me right now. This whole parade, this whole reception wasn't in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. This reception was taking place in a place called Emek HaMelech. So what does it mean, Sham Banav? I just want to see if he brings over here. Now he brings over here that Sham means in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it doesn't mean Dafke in the Makom HaMikdash, but they will offer in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The question over here is, and a lot of people ask the question, if he is giving him a remez that Avram Avinu now, that his children are gonna serve Hashem with karbanos, so why didn't he bring any meat? He should have brought animals. The main karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash were made out of animals. Instead, he's bringing him lechem and yayin. So the Shemesh Shmuel. So one moment. He brings over here the Sifsa Chacham and asks that question. And he answers, just a simple answer, that animal karbanos they didn't offer in the Midbar as well. For that, they didn't have to come into Eretz Yisrael. But the offering of libations, of Nesachim, it says, Beferish in the Pasuk, when ki savayu el aretz, when you will come to the land. Because I guess the wines and the mincha have to be grown in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why he's now telling him about the karbanos that they're going to offer in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why okay. But the Shemesh Shmuel, this is really fascinating, who is the Sachar Tshuva Rebbe, the son of the holy Avne Nezer. Avne Nezer was one of the greatest Paiskim Chassidish Rabbeim, student of the Kotzke Rebbe. And he has a fascinating idea of why Shem was bringing him only lechem and yayin. He gives really two interpretations. And both of them are based from his father. He says, in the name of my father, of the Avne Nezer. And he says like this, that Bichlal, we know that through karbanos, and in a sense, every yid through their eating, because our eating is like a karban, Shulchan Shel Adam is a mizbeach, our avodah is to elevate the world. We elevate sparks of holiness through our avodah. Now, in the world, there is a sensitivity, that people have a sensitivity. A lot of people don't want to eat animals. And they feel it's animal cruelty. And therefore, people have much more easier to eat vegetables. A lot of people are vegetarians because they have the sensitivity. We know that in a sense, there is it's a correct sensitivity, meaning who am I to kill an animal? Why should the animal serve me? But really, the question needs to be asked further, why should I kill a cucumber? Or what right do I... It also has a nefesh. It's also a living thing. By what right? And if you're questioning by what right I can eat a chicken, and same question, but why I can eat a tomato? So, unless I have a true justification, what's the true justification? If I'm here to serve God, and the cucumber can't serve God directly, only through me, and the chicken can't either, only through me. So if I eat food, and I'm eating, and I'm directing my energy to serve the Eibishter, I'm elevating everything, then I have a right to eat both. Okay, but here's an interesting thing. It says in Svarim, that it's much harder to elevate a vegetable than to elevate an animal. In other words, it's easier to do a bitter in an animal than to do a bitter in a vegetable. And it's a simple thing. A vegetable, you have to lift it up two levels. You have to first lift it up to the level of Chai, and then from the level of Chai, you have to lift it up into the level of Adam. So it's a very difficult aliyah, elevation. An animal is an easy elevation. You only have to raise it up one notch into a human, and then from a human into the godly. So it's only one notch. So therefore, he says an interesting thing. He says, until this moment when Avram Avinu came back at the war from them, the mankind did not have the ability to elevate vegetables. Now, I mean, parenthetically, initially human beings ate vegetables and they weren't allowed to eat animals. Only by Noach they were given permission to eat animals. That's something else. I'm talking about a carbon. We don't find any carbonoids from vegetation. We only find carbonoids from animals. There was one person who tried to bring a carbon from vegetation, and he was Cain, and it actually wasn't accepted. It was rejected. The carbon of Hevel, he brought from a sheep, that was accepted, but not the carbon from mine. It's very hard to elevate Tzemeach, and therefore it was unelevatable. It was only after this story that it became possible for him to elevate the vegetable. And that's why he was meramis to him the carbon of Nesachim, because now vegetables were... Why? So there's a few... There's two biurim over here that are very geschmack. First is, in one of his explanations, he says, because the difference between an animal and a vegetable is that an animal has in it a higher spirit, maybe called, related more like to the level of ruach. Neshama is a human being. An animal has more of a spirit called ruach. It has more of a nefesh, a chayunis, which is more like ruach. A vegetable has a nefesh, but it's only a nefesh atzeimacha. It's only nefesh. And nefesh is related to David HaMelech. David HaMelech is called nefesh. We know that there are five levels of neshamas. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chay, yechida. So we know that David HaMelech is nefesh. Eliyahu HaNavi is ruach. The collective ruach of the Jewish people. What's his name? David. Neshama is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is Neshama. Adam Arishan is Chai, and Moshiach is Yechida. So it comes out that the level of Nefesh was not able to be activated or elevated only when David HaMelech was here. Avram Avinu in this war extracted the Neshama of David HaMelech by saving Lot. So even though David HaMelech wasn't Bepoel Mamish here yet, but David HaMelech's Neshama, and therefore it's interesting, he brings that, but when it comes to a Karban Mincha, the Pasuk says, V'nefesh, that a Nefesh Kisakriv Mincha. So Rashi asked the question, why does it say V'nefesh Kisakriv Mincha, that a Nefesh offers a mincha? Doesn't say by a carbon of an animal or even by a carbon of a bird. It says an adam, an ish. Doesn't say nefesh. So Rashi says, because mi darkoi lehevi mincha, who brings a mincha? A very poor man. Can't even afford a bird. Definitely not an animal. And the Eibishter says, his carbon of a very poor man is very precious to me. I consider it as if he was shechted, he sacrificed his nefesh itself. Mama, she gave me his nefesh. So the inyan of a karban of a mincha is called a karban ani. Who is an ani? David HaMelech says about himself, ki ani v'ev yoin anoichi. Tfila la ani ki yatev. David HaMelech calls himself ani, ani v'ev yoin. I'm an ani. So therefore, David HaMelech is related to a karban ani, which is the karban of nefesh. And it's only through the power of David HaMelech that we have the ability to be able to elevate the nefesh hatzeimachas, to be able to pick up vegetation. Or else, karbonis had to be only from animal. And that's why it couldn't be till now. That's his first explanation. But the second explanation was mamish, 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 unbelievable. So he continues in another piece, and he says, so first he brings another idea, is that the reason why, Shem only brought the karba mincha, the wine and the lechem, is because the other karbanis, he says, connected to what we said before. There's no chiddush, because those karbanis were offered earlier. Adam offered karbanis, and Noach offered karbanis, and Hevel offered animals. So the karbanis were offered already, but vegetation was never offered, at least that it should be accepted. And that was a chiddush. So that's why he's bringing lechem and yayin and telling him. But then you have to ask the question, why dafka now? What happened at this moment? So again, he brings from his father, it's related to the fact that Avram Earlier we said because he brought back David HaMelech's neshama, but over here he says another inyan. He says it's related to Avram's Mesiras Nefesh. In other words, the ability to be able to elevate a Nefesh HaTzemachas, to bring a korban from Tzemeach, required full-fledged Mesiras Nefesh. And Mesiras Nefesh, that did not have, and Avram Avinu just had Mesiras Nefesh on the highest level when he went to battle, because he went to fight against massive armies. So this Mesiras Nefesh gave him the koyach. So the Shem Shmuel asks the question on his father. He says, Chashtenisht, Avram Avinu had Mesiras Nefesh before. He was thrown into the furnace of Nimrod. Why happens Dafka now after the War of the Four Kings? Dafka now? In a sense, maybe that Mesiras Nefesh was greater. It's true, very unlikely that he'll come out winning, but it's still a war, there's chances. When he's being thrown into a fire, unless there's an absolute miracle. So it was a bigger Mesiras Nefesh. So why Dafka now? So he says the following. It's Gevaldik. That after the Chet, the reason they didn't bring any karbanos from Tzomeach, from vegetation until this time, we said before it's hard to elevate, is particularly, why is it taka so hard to elevate the vegetable? He says, because it says after the sin of the Eitz Hadas, that the Eibish that curses the earth, Aruda ha'adama bavurecha, the earth became contaminated. Mamash, we once spoke from the Mittler Rebbe that all the ra went into the earth itself. And that causes a pollution of the ear because the earth gives forth trees and trees create oxygen. And our ear that we breathe is polluted ear, which incites a person sometimes to not good things. Mamash, the ear is polluted. That's why the Friedrich Rebbe instituted that you should learn Mishnayos Palpeh outside on the street to literally as an ear purifier. Because the ear is next to it. But we know that the earth became infected. Now, this infection of the earth affected the earth in which way? That the earth only gives out, that the earth doesn't produce anymore, finished product, good food. The earth, when it produces food, it produces... it has psoles. We spoke about this a long time ago when we were learning Sefer Parshas Bereishis and these classes, the Mashiach classes, that the earth gives forth food that is mixed, good and bad. There's no pure. And the reason is because it's the venom of the snake that went into the earth. The snake projected its venom into Chava, and through Chava the earth was cursed. It went into the earth, and the earth has the venom of the snake. And that's why he says you can't eat anything until you put it through fire. You bake. You take kernels of wheat, you turn it into flour, you make it into dough, and then you have to bake it. So a woman that's making challah has to realize that when she's baking the challah, what she's really doing is she's cleansing, she's purifying. Why? Because the fire kills the germs of the snake, and then it becomes edible. There's literally germs, snake germs, venom of snake in everything. And he goes on to say that and those vegetables that are edible, even without any tikkun, you don't have to cook them, right, like tomatoes or peppers or other lettuce and things like that you can eat as it is. They too have psoles. That's why the body pushes out whatever is garbage, but they were not affected that much by the venom of the snake. When Mashiach comes after the world is going to be nesakein, it says that the earth is going to give forth gluskois. The Gemara says gluskois means finished rolls, finished to eat. It's going to be rolled, it's going to be baked already. Meaning you don't need fire because you don't have to extract anything because everything is edible because there's no more ra from the snake in the earth. Okay. That's the reason he said that they never offered karbanos from vegetation and even Kayin tried and it wasn't accepted because the earth has a pollution and vegetables have this ra inside of it. Animals, he says, they are a step away from the earth because they're only eating the vegetables and that's what they're eating, grass or whatever. So they're receiving this pollution secondhand, like secondhand smoke. They're not getting the first pollution. The vegetables are growing directly from the earth. This is already getting it secondhand. And as a result of it getting it secondhand, it's not as polluted. And therefore, animal can be elevated, but vegetable cannot be elevated, as a carbon at least. Until when? Until after Matan Torah. When Matan Torah, when the Torah was given, since we know Pascha Zehama, when the Yidden stood at Matan Torah, the Zehama, the influence of the snake went away from them. So the Yidden now eradicated, now, and they brought a certain purification. If they were clean, they brought a purification of the world, now they can elevate even the Tzameach. Now, even though when they sinned in the Egel, the world went back, but it did not go back to the same degree of contamination like it was before. And especially since, in addition to that, he says, also since when Mashiach will come, the world will be purified, it is also affecting backwards. In other words, there's two effects. The effects of Matan Torah and the effects of the future that allows that in between Matan Torah and Mashiach's coming, we can bring karbanos even from Tzemeach. Now, but he asked the question, how can the future influence? How can the future of Yemos HaMashiach already influence now if it didn't happen yet? So he says, in a sense, it already did happen. Because once Avram Avinu went for this war, and he fought against the four kings, and the reason he went to this war was to extract David HaMelech's neshama. And in David HaMelech's neshama is Mashiach's neshama. And therefore, it's considered as if Mashiach is in the world already. Since that war, Mashiach is here already. As David HaMelech saved, Avram Avinu revealed David HaMelech, and he revealed Mashiach Tzadkenu. So now, it just needs to materialize, but the nucleus of it, its essence is already created in the creation. It's here already. And as a result of that, it's the Nesinas Koyach to accomplish it was there already from after this war. That's why shame brings out Dafka now, Lechem and Yayin, because now we can elevate Tzemeach. And up till now we couldn't elevate Tzemeach, because now we have a Mashiach. We have Mashiach in the world already. We have the world purification, and there won't be. And he adds a very interesting thing. We all know the story of he brings that Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, had over the Roman Emperor, Antoninus was by him, and he served him a Shabbos meal, and he went crazy from the taste of the food. And then he asked him, like, what kind of spice? No, so then he came over during the weekday, I think, and he asked him, like, it doesn't taste like that. He said, oh, there's one spice that we didn't put in. So he said, what kind of spice? I mean, you're afraid you could have bought it. So he said, no, it's a spice that's called Shabbos. And therefore, that's a spice that, you know, it needs to be Shabbos if it's not Shabbos. So he explains why. He says, because again, the taste of food has been ruined. Our food that we have today is a beer, nothing. He brings over here, by the way, I forgot to mention earlier, chita is from the word chanata. Chanata means when a food begins to become, like it's beginning to bud, that's called chanata. He says, our full-fledged food is like the beginning of a budding of something compared to what food was before Adam HaRishon sinned and what it's going to be after Mashiach comes. Now, Shabbos is a little taste of Mashiach. And Shabbos, the klippas don't have... What is ruining the taste? What is causing the earth to not finish its product? To leave things in this unfinished state? That's the venom of the snake. Shabbos, the world rises, nature is elevated, klippa doesn't have such a grip over it. Literally, the food is tastier on Shabbos. Now we'll also understand one more thing he says, why... He brings, as he mentioned, from his father, that it required Mesiras Nefesh. From the Avne Nezer, it required Mesiras Nefesh. That's why Avram Avinu was able to now initiate Karbonos from Tzemeach. And he says the reason is, why Mesiras Nefesh? Because as we mentioned earlier, there are five levels of Neshama. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida. Mashiach is Yechida, right? And we know, we learn this in Tanya all the time, what's Yechida? Yechida Sheben Nefesh is the Koyach HaMesiras Nefesh. Nefesh is simple Kabbalah's oil, doing things because Hashem said so. With simple obedience. Ruach is emotion, serving Hashem with Ava V'Yira. Neshama is Seichel, intellect. Chai is serving Hashem with a Ratzon, with a desire that transcends Seichel. But you have a desire, but it's still your desire. And Yechida is total Mesiras Nefesh. Mashiach is Yechida. So if Avram wanted to have already a Mashiach moment and make a tikkun, so Avram had to be Moiser Nefesh in a matter of Yechidah Sheben Nefesh. And that's why we understand that his earlier Mesiras Nefesh that he did in Ur Kasdim doesn't count for this, even though it was Mesiras Nefesh, but it wasn't Shayach to Mashiach. Here it was Mesiras Nefesh to save Mashiach's Neshama. That's why it required. So the Mesiras Nefesh is connected to Mashiach, and this is why this Mesiras Nefesh is what's necessary in order to be, because only when Mashiach comes will we finally eradicate the contamination that's in the earth that's causing the impediment and not allowing us to elevate vegetable. May we merit to be able to see now and to eat already from those vegetation that is free or true organic, if we might call it, without any pesticides and anything in it that comes from the other side. May we merit the Geula Shleima. Take kif umiyad mamish. Thank you for listening.